And welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. If you're a first-time listener, we started this show in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench in 2007, and here we are 15 years later in Mill Bay, Vancouver Island, still doing the show. And thank you for being out there, and thank you for listening and sending your comments and for supporting the food and wine industry in British Columbia and around the world. We focus on BC because it's right underneath our nose, and it's an amazing success story, British Columbia wines. I'd like to say Canadian wines. The problem is there's a spitting contest between East and West, and it's political, and it's personal, it's financial, and they're not exactly embracing our wines, and we don't see Ontario wines here in the West very rarely. Fine. That's the way it's going to be until someone grows up. Two people I'd like to introduce you to. The first will be Mark Hopley, the winemaker at Hester Creek on the Golden Mile, South Okanagan, between Oliver and Nisoyos. Just prime land, Golden Mile. And Joe Busnardik, who lives literally a mile or two from me right now, was the guy who came from Italy and planted one of the wines that we're going to Treviano, planted in 1968. When no one else was doing it. Pinot Blanc, actually. He planted Pinot Blanc. So it's a salute to Joe Bosnardo, who's just a crusty guy. But he's here making wine on Vancouver Island, as is his family. And so Mark Hopley is in charge of the winemaking at Hester Creek. I love their wines. We're going to be talking about their 2021 brand new Pinot Gris, the Pinot Gris Viognier, the Old Vine Trebbiano. We'll talk about the Judge. We'll talk about their Rosé and their Pinot Blanc and everything else in a couple of first segments here. Mark Hopley, wonderful winemaker, Hester Creek. And then the second half of the show will be Ilan Morris, the general manager of the Okanagan Wine Festival Society. And the Spring Wine Fest has been announced, May 5 through 15. 70 events, 10 days. The Valley First Spring Wine Tasting, from Cellars to Classics, and Blush and Bubbles. They do 4 wine festivals a year, although the winter one has been in arrears the last couple of years. But you can find the details at winefestivals.com. So if you're heading for the Okanagan or you want to make a plan, May 5 through 15, the Spring Okanagan Wine Festival, and Elaine Morris will tell us all about it. This is Tasting Room Radio. Welcome aboard. Cheers. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Just a word about Michaela Morris's writing in Decanter Magazine. She called British Columbia's Syrah Canada's rising star and included her top 15 BC Syrah wines to try, including Moon Cursor Syrah 2019 at 90 points. Moon Cursor, the 2019 Wine Aligned Best Small Winery in Canada, will reopen in April of this year. All the details at mooncursor.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. As promised at the start of the show, Mark Hopley is joining me. He is the winemaker at Hester Creek on the Golden Mile, South Okanagan. Mark, first of all, before we get to anything else, how have the last 2 years been for you and Hester Creek?
Oh, really good. I mean, we've definitely had a couple of really good vintages under our belt. I mean, the weather's been very cooperative, as you know. Lots of vibrant acidity, lots of color, lots of small berries the past couple of years. It's kind of been the trend, Terry. But I think, you know, the results we're really happy with. So lots of concentrated flavors on the Golden Mile bench last couple of years for sure.
You know, Mark, I was also asking about personally for Hester Creek and you. How'd you get through the COVID years?
You know, it was an exercise in team building in my mind, because, you know, we our team was smaller, we had less people, we had more space, and there were some challenges, but I think I'm really proud of the way that we overcame it and are still dealing with it today. But you know, the doors are open, we're open for tastings, things feel like they're getting back to normal, so That's the good news. But yeah, no, I was really proud of the team. You know, from a production standpoint, especially, you know, in the vineyard is different. You got lots of space, but when you're bottling, you know, there's close proximities, and we dealt with that. I think really proud of the team and how we dealt with that. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. Here we are. It's spring. It's one of the best times of the year for wine fans and for wineries in general. The spring releases show up. All of the work that's been going on those months and months and months in the growing season of the cellar, and we finally get to taste what you've been working on. We've got a 2021 Pinot Gris, 2021 Pinot Gris Viognier, Ovine Trebbiano, and a Pinot Blanc. So, yes for the whites. And we'll talk about the judge as well. And by the way, I forgot to prep you on this, but we personally would like to know where the Hester Creek Rosé is or when it's coming.
It's out. It's out. So we just released it, actually. It went out the last, I'd say, 2-3 weeks. It's in, you can look for it at a liquor store or at a beer and wine store, or you can buy it online from our wine shop, or better yet, come out and see us in the sunny Okanagan.
What did you craft it from?
It is 100% Cabernet Franc. So we just think that, you know, here on the Golden Mall Bench, we're really known for Cabernet Franc.
Sure.
And I think it just makes a really nice rosé. We've had some really good results with it, just that strawberry, rhubarb, lots of jammy kind of flavors. But we're also trying to keep a slight bit of natural, you know, residual sugar from the Cab Franc, because I really think it helps bring out kind of the essence of the fruitiness from the vine. So, that one, and keeping that acidity vibrant is always, and as you know, Terry, our rosé is known for its color. It's very electric. And the way we get that is 4 days on the skin. So after 4 days, you know, like some rosés you'll do, like what they call a winemaker's lunch, skin contact time. We take a 4-day lunch, and maybe not lunch, but we're looking for a little extra color. So that's kind of been our flagship and what we're known for. So it does very well for us, that wine, for sure. But I'm really excited about all the wines coming out, especially, you know, as you mentioned, we got the Pinot Blanc this year, which for me, I think is as good as any Pinot Blanc that I tasted off this property. Really excited because those small berry sizes, old vines, Block 4 is planted in 1968. So we're talking about, you know, those vines, those roots are running deep, and the flavors are super concentrated. As you mentioned, we got the Trebbiano, which is always a, you know, a favorite and sells out very quickly. And the Pinot Gris Viognier we just released along with our 2021 Pinot Gris. So, okay, there's a lot of new wines coming out.
Mark Hopley is the winemaker at Hester Creek on the South Okanagan, the Golden Mile, as a matter of fact. A gorgeous property. Let's just take them one at a time if we can, Mark. It's probably going to take two segments. The Pinot Blanc, there was a time, well, as you know, Pinot Blanc was predicted to be the white grape of the valley, at least in a thesis by a friend of ours, Barb. And
yeah.
But it's taken its time. Is it finally, are we finally growing it properly? Are we creating it properly?
I mean, I think so. But the way I see that is, you know, we're fortunate enough to have these vines that have been here since 1968. So we're talking about some very well-established vines. Pinot Blanc, we use it as a base for our sparkling. So our old vines, Brut, we use it for, you know, also our Pinot Blanc is still wine, as you're talking about. And for me, the emphasis is on the old vines. So I think we're in a unique situation there, Terry, that we have. It's pretty amazing fruit. I'm grateful that we get to work with it, to be quite honest. But I think it's fair to say that probably Pinot Blanc hasn't maybe got the respect it's deserved over the years. I can remember I worked at a winery back in the day, and we had 4 different Pinot Blancs. So you're bang on. It came out of the gates fast, but I think it's got its solid following. And you mentioned Barb Phillip. I know she's a big fan of BC Pinot Blanc for sure. And, I agree with her. It's and yourself. I think it's an underrated variety. It's a food friendly variety, and you can do a lot with it. And it makes a nice base for a lot of wines. Actually,
have you messed around with oak with it?
Actually, we do. So we actually do like a wine shop exclusive, or wine, I should say, wine store exclusive. It's called Pinot Bianco, and so basically, it's the same fruit from the Block 4 that we do some barrel ferment with as well. So. Yeah, it's you know, it's, I'd say it's more towards a Chardonnay style wine when you start barrel fermenting, of course. But I think it's got the structure You know, we've got the minerality, we've got the site, and I think that for me, it's one of my favorite wines, and it's $17.99, so the price is unbelievable too in my mind. We do a lot of glass pours with our Pinot Blanc for sure.
And because it has that minerality, can it cellar?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would say, like any of these unoaked white wines, for me, you know, 2 years is probably ideal. You know, once you start getting past 2 years with an unoaked wine in a screw cap, it probably will start to oxidize a little bit. So for me, I really like these wines when they're fresh, fruity, right out of the gate with that vibrant acidity. I think they're a little more food friendly, but for those that like their wines a little more aged, a year to 2 years, I think, with Pinot Blanc would be as far as you probably want to go without the oak.
Mark Hopley is the winemaker at Hester Creek. We're talking Pinot Blanc, $17.99, friends. $17.99. Did you say 2,000 cases?
That's correct. We did 2,000 cases this year. It was actually a shorter crop, so we made a little less this year. You know, it's kind of whatever, you know, it's farming, so you're kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature, and she's been very good in the flavor department, but a little short on the tonnage the last few years. But I think you'll see some top-notch wines coming out of the entire valley from the past couple of years. But 2021 was amazing. It really was.
Speaking of 2021, Mark, the year of Pinot Gris, you made 7,000 cases. As I was saying, we won't have to go looking for your Pinot Gris. It will find us.
I like the way you verbalize that. Yes, absolutely. So that is basically a flagship wine for us. That is across the province through, you know, liquor board distribution. So no matter where you are in BC listening to this, you will find it probably.
Or Alberta, Mark.
Well, in Alberta too. We sell a lot of it in Alberta. You can't forget that. Looking forward to hosting a lot of Albertans out here this summer too, I think, as things open up. But yeah, that's a staple for sure. It's a wine, and honestly, it's a wine that we use a base for a lot of our other wines, like our Pinot Gris Viognier.
Yeah.
If we can kind of transition into that one, Terry, that's a Savon exclusive, but you'll recognize the Hester Creek label. It's bright green, so the Savon kind of colors, and I can't make enough of that right now. It's flying off the shelves, and it's back in stores as we speak. So you can find that at any Savon. Across BC.
Okay, here's what you need to know. The Pinot Gris 2021 from Hester Creek, 7,000 cases, $17.99. And the 2021 Pinot Gris Viognier at Savon Foods, $19.99, 4,000 cases. How much Viognier in there? Just enough for the nose or more?
Yeah, no, it's a little over 30%, Terry. I think we're right around 34% this year. Yeah. So it's for me that the Gris brings the structure. It's a great structure wine, but the Viognier has that nice kind of oiliness, some weight to it, and just kind of that orange rind, almost in a Muscat vein sometimes for me. But I just find that just, 30%, 35%, that's kind of our wheelhouse on that blend for sure. That's kind of the sweet spot.
Are you going to offer a single vineyard, single varietal Viognier this year?
We do, but on a smaller scale. Sure. So again, available through the wine shop.
I just need to find my Viognier, that's all.
Yes, we do. We deal with Stone Throw Vineyard, which is on the Black Sage Bench side. We have a longtime grower, Rich Fournier, there that grows some great fruit for us, and that is a large contributor to that. And we also use Viognier co-fermenting with some of our Syrah as well. But go ahead, sorry.
I just want to tell you, I knew I was going to need two segments for you because we're not done yet. We still held the Ovine Trebbiano. We're going to talk about the Judge. We'll talk about Terrafina and other things for 2022. Back in business, Hester Creek, Mark Hopley is the winemaker. We'll be right back. This is Tasting Room Radio. Whew. All right, let me save that. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info you can use if you're planning to visit our friends at Unsworth. The tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the restaurant is open from Thursday to Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. Sunday from noon to 4. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Mark Hopley, the winemaker at Hester Creek on the Golden Mile, has joined us. We're grateful for that because we love the wines. All the details And a shot of Mark, if we can get a nice color shot of him, will be on our website, tastingroomradio.com, found at mulliganstew.ca. Right then. Have they done a nice color shot of you lately, Mark? Have you got a beard? Have you changed your appearance?
No, my hair's been falling out for years, so I keep that nice and short. But it's I'm looking forward to it warming up around here. I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting winter, and we're just looking forward to getting back to normal.
All right.
Wine shop's open again, Terry.
You know, whatever normal is.
Well the normal, honestly, masks are now optional, so that's kind of opened things up. Obviously, our tasting room is fully open. First come, first serve, no reservations needed. We're open 10 to 5, 7 days a week. And we also have our signature tasting story. If somebody wants to run through, you know, a little deeper into the portfolio of wines that we have here at Hester Creek, we've got a sit-down experience. Mm. You need to pre-book that. We do them at 11 and 2. But if you get a chance, you're in the Okanagan, come see us, because it's a good way to go through and kind of have a guided tasting. I kind of enjoy that myself, rather than, you know, just tasting a few wines at the bar.
Speaking of coming and seeing you, are we going to see you at the Vancouver International Wine Festival?
100%.
All right.
I booked the flight yesterday, so I'm looking forward to that. Should be good.
What are you going to be pouring?
We're going to be pouring, well, of course, we'll have the Trebbiano. We'll have our Old Vines Brut. We'll have the Judge. I would imagine we'll probably have the Garland. I haven't actually seen the pour list. We'll probably have our Chardonnay or Syrah. Pretty representative of the portfolio. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It seems like it's been forever since we sat down as a group, and I'm looking forward to seeing some friendly, familiar faces and catch up. What about you?
I'm very much looking forward to it. How to cover it is my problem. How to be in five places at once, right? That's my problem.
You're the busiest guy on the floor.
I got one microphone, but if you line everything up, we'll get it correct. We'll just go and find a bunch of microphones and get it all into one laptop, and we'll get it done. We've done it before. We'll do it again. Looking forward to it.
I can't wait.
The 2021 Old Vine Trebbiano. Mm-hmm. Is that the Joe Bishnardo years? Did he plant those vines?
Yes, sir. So that is from our oldest block on the property, which is originally kind of where the homestead was.
Sure.
All our old vines are kind of in the same area. So where the Pinot Blanc is, directly across from the Pinot Blanc in Block 4 is our Block 16 Trebbiano. And same thing, planted originally 1968. You know, as with any vineyard, there's going to be some young and old vines over the years in there. But if you look, some of them are gnarly, tree trunk looking vines. And for me, that's, I get excited when I see that, because we know how much energy goes into, you know, a small amount of fruit, because those older vines don't crop a lot, and Trebbiano can be fairly vigorous. So just fortunate enough to work with that fruit. And I think this year it was an exceptional vintage for Trebbiano. A little light. So I would say if you want to get your fix of Trebbiano, I would get on that pretty quick, because it won't last long. We did about 1,100 cases, Terry.
I'm just taking a sip here. Hold on a second.
Oh, I like it. Oh. How come I just got water? This doesn't
seem fair. Oh, man. That's so good. That is
Thank
so
you.
Good.
If yeah.
What I want is some spot prawns right now.
Spot prawns, absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. We do that potato truffle pizza, Chef Adair Scott at Terrafina, and for me, that one goes great with that. Trebbiano, the old vines. Pretty versatile, good food pairing wine for sure. Yeah, seafood would be awesome too. Spot prawn is the season, isn't it?
It is a season. It's upcoming. It's going to come very quickly. I love the grapefruit on the nose, and I especially like it in the mouth. It's fantastic.
Is it? Well, I'm going to say, I know you like matching music with wine.
Sure.
So think of yellow. Think of yellow. Think of Coldplay. Think of Trebbiano, you get the yellow fruit, yellow flowers, yellow melons, and it's got a vibrant yellow color. So, and again, those smaller berry sizes this year means a lot more ratio of skin to juice. And so what that means is yellow
oh,
nice, vibrant
goodness.
Color in the glass, too.
Oh, my goodness, that is a beautiful drink. So because of the small berry size, how many cases?
1,100.
Okay.
That one fluctuates a little bit, and of course, we've just got the small block there, and when it's gone, it's gone. So this year we're 1,100 cases.
Okay.
So.
Mark Hopley, let's move on, if we can, to one of my favorite Reds anywhere, not just in BC or Canada, anywhere. The Judge. I love The Judge. It gives me exactly what I'm looking for in a red blend. How is this Judge shaping up for the summer?
Oh, well, really well. So right now we're on the 18 Judge, but we're transitioning. We're just going to actually take the 19 Judge out of barrel. So, you know, it's basically 3 years at the winery. So we're aging it basically for our customers, which I think is always, those wines will come out more approachable and just a little more elegant is the plan. So the Judge is, it's always Merlot driven. So we try to be close to 40% Merlot and then the balance of Cab Sauv and Cab Franc. And, you know, it's almost a brand on its own, to be quite honest. The Judge is a wine that really has a following, and people know it. So, I mean, we have so many different wines under the same umbrella, but the Judge is in our origin series, so our top tier. Basically, from our oldest vines on the property, we use our best barrels, a lot of TLC, low cropped, and just hopefully express the golden mile bench in the glass. And I think if you look back over the years, Terry, that's a wine, it's a lot of fun to do verticals on that. And you can kind of see that fruit evolving. And it ages so well. It really does.
I would kill to be around for a vertical. I do private verticals because I keep a Judge handy, but to do 5 or 6 or 7 years would be phenomenal.
Yeah. You know what? We should do that next time you're up. That would be easy to set up.
All right. The Judge. What's the price point on it and how many cases?
The Judge is $45.99. And so that comes in six packs. So the case count's sometimes a little confusing, but basically it's 3,000 six packs or 1,500 cases, if that makes sense.
And for you, in terms of food pairing, it's barbecue season. Everybody's cleaning off their barbecues. What would you serve with the Judge that would really, truly pair well with it?
It's a versatile wine that definitely leaned towards meat. If you want to keep it, you know, vegetarian, I would go maybe like something heavier, maybe some wild mushroom risotto, something like that. But if, you know, it's great with lamb. I love it with, you can have it with just about anything. I mean, for me, just a grilled ribeye is hard to beat, but
okay.
You know, keeping it in the Italian vein, I would say like some of our charcuterie or some of our chorizo with pasta would be good too. So, but you can't beat a good old steak with that, in my opinion.
By the way, I made a note to myself. I wrote it not thinking I was going to share it with you, but on the Pinot Blanc, I just wrote oysters. I in big block letters, oysters. Find some oysters. That's good. And the prawns for the gris and the gris viognier, the Trebbiano can actually beautifully survive on its own. Now, did you mention the Garland?
I did not, but the Garland. So the Garland is named for our owner, Kurt Garland, and basically it is a Bordeaux style blend. But this is a Cab dominant, so this is like the Godfather, if that makes sense. You know, the Judge is more Merlot driven, and the Garland is more Cabernet Sauvignon driven. It's mostly Cabernet Sauvignon with a little bit of Petit Verdot and Malbec in there for structure, and we do put just a tiny little bit of Italian Merlot in there, but. It's basically a Cab driven wine. So, we believe it to be, you know, representative of the estate. And I think if you want to age, if you know the Judge, the Garland will age just as well, if
not better. Wow. Now, so, and you touched on this, but Terrafina restaurant is open. The villa accommodations are open. Popular cooking classes are, and Mark Hopley will occasionally be found doing tours. Are you a part of the tour structure?
We will get back to tours soon enough, I would imagine, when things get going. That's more of a, you know, kind of a May thing when things really take off. But we've got our signature tastings, which is a sit-down tasting experience. I mentioned earlier, the bar is open every day, first come, first serve, 10 to 5, 7 days a week. And we also have our cooking classes that you alluded to, Terry. Best place for that, visit our website, HesterCreek.com, and we've got local chefs doing cooking classes. And if you're in the valley, that is quite an experience just to sit down one-on-one with the chef and your group and taste through the wines and the amazing cuisine. I think it's a great experience for sure.
Have yourself a great summer, Mark. I hope to see you at the Okanagan Wine Festival, or hope to see you certainly at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. I'll start with you, if that's okay.
I look forward to that. Can't wait to see you. And hopefully, maybe we can wet a line this year, get out on the water, and do some fly fishing.
In my dreams, I'm fishing with you. I'm okay. I can do that. I'll be glad to do that.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Terry. Thank you, Mark.
You too. All the best.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info you can use if you're planning to visit our friends at Unsworth. The tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the restaurant is open from Thursday to Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. Sunday from noon to 4. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Pleased to announce that Tasting Room hours will continue starting April the 6th. The wine shop hours are daily, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery will also open on April the 6th. Spring hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 to 9 p.m. with indoor and outdoor dinner service. And takeout available from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. Details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. And I have reconnected with Elan Morris, the general manager of the BC Wine Festival Society in Kelowna. And assuming Kelowna, of course.
Yes.
And you are, well, there's a number of things we're going to talk about. First of all, the 26th annual Spring Okanagan Wine Festival. But first, Elan, I need to know about you and the last couple of years, how you yourself personally dealt with those 2 years, and how the society might have dealt with it, and then the wineries themselves. Just give me a round out of what those 2 years were like.
Wow, Terry, that's a good question. I mean, we've all been a bit traumatized by the last 2 years, for sure. It's been challenging for those of us in the tourism and hospitality industry, and especially for the Okanagan Wine Festival Society, which is predominantly an event-based society. And, you know, as a not-for-profit that produces events, that revenue stream was significantly affected by COVID-19. However, as a membership-based society, I'm eternally thankful for the support of our sponsors and members over the past 2 years. They stuck through us through thick and thin, and now it's time for me to pay them back by providing an incredible Spring Okanagan Wine Festival. But yeah, there's no doubt that it's been challenging, but I'm now looking at the glass half full. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stop looking back at, you know, the devastation from COVID-19 and just really embrace and be excited about what lies before us in 2022, because I think it's going to be very good.
And then I think we both know that we lost restaurants along the way. Did we lose wineries as well?
Yeah, for sure. Some of the smaller ones. I don't think it's terribly significant. And in some ways, our BC wineries showed enormous resilience. Yep. To adapt to a very difficult situation. And some of the wineries that didn't have very pronounced direct-to-consumer sales had the ability and the opportunity to move to an online format. And then last year, funding was provided for wineries to move outdoors and to build patios, that now moving them forward, they have those two things that they might not have had before the pandemic. I mean, it really is a very tiny lining, but it is a bit of a silver lining. I'm incredibly impressed.
And also, I think we, the consumer, stepped forward as well and said, "Oh, I can help."
Yeah. Yeah, a lot. There were a lot of wine sales that went on during 2020 and 2021, and I'm here to tell you that I spent quite a bit of money myself.
Yes, I'll take a case of that. Thank you very much. Well, so here we are. This is a celebration. Really, this is, yes, I know it's the 26th annual Spring Okanagan Wine Festival, but it is a celebration of surviving those 2 years. Of recapturing what might be termed the new normal. But basically, let's do the things that we remember doing and doing them well. And this is one of them. So how did that go into your planning? What did you want to accomplish with this festival?
Well, we honestly, Terry, we're just so happy to get back to the business of placing our BC wineries on the stages they so well deserve through Spring Wine Festival and all of the events within it. My team and I are incredibly excited to welcome wine lovers back from both near and far yep. to the phenomenal communities that we serve. And I think the Okanagan Valley is going to be a really great place to drink wine this spring. And, you know, producing a festival that's been in existence for, you know, more than 26 years, because it would have been 28 years if we had been able to execute Spring Festival over the last 2 years. You know, that's an accomplishment. It speaks to the reputation of the society, but it speaks to the reputation of the wineries who are our members and pour at our events. And yeah, this year it's looking like Spring Wine Festival will be upwards of 70 events. And I just like to give a little bit of background. And, you know, some people don't understand, well, what is Spring Wine Festival? How does it happen? Well, we produce, the Okanagan Wine Festival Society produces four seasonal festivals sure. throughout the year. And spring and fall wine festivals are two big festivals. And each one of those can comprise anywhere from 70 to 100 events. And so when we decide, my team and I decide dates for Spring Festival, then we supply the cornerstone building blocks. We refer to them as signature events. Those are the large consumer tastings that people so know and love, like the Valley First Wine Tasting
sure.
or the BC Wine and Food Truck Festival or the Sensation Fall Finale. So for Spring Wine Festival, my team and I build out a few cornerstone events and apply dates to them. And then we announce to our members that these are the dates of Spring Wine Festival, and then they start uploading all of their events, creating and uploading events at their wineries. And throughout that 10-day period, that builds out a fulsome wine festival.
Sure.
So this year, Wine Festival will run from May 5th to the 15th, and it will kick off on May 7th with the Valley First Spring Wine Tastings. It's one of the Okanagan's most popular events.
That's the one at the Rotary Center?
Held at the Rotary Center for the Arts. Guests will have the opportunity to taste more than 130 wines all under one roof. It's pretty much a tour through spectacular Okanagan wine country without having to drive.
You know, it's interesting in talking to the wineries and the winemakers, as a number of them said, you know, the vines don't care that we're going through COVID. They're just going through
nope.
their growing season. This is an amazing spring release because they have been able to really concentrate on what they're doing, on those vines and the bud and everything, the whole growing year. So this is for them, it's a celebration as well.
Yeah, we're about to celebrate bud break, and that's actually the reasons why we choose the dates that we do. Spring Festival is meant to embrace and celebrate bud break on the vine, and then of course Fall Festival, we choose those dates to celebrate the harvest, yep. which is the ending season of the vine. I would like to note to your listeners that we have a couple of new events this year as a part of Spring Festival.
I saw the Classics one, yes.
Thrilled to be partnering with the Okanagan Chamber Fest. And this event, From Cellars to Classics, will be at the Laurel Packing House on May 12th. And guests are going to enjoy the wine and hors d'oeuvre reception, followed by a chamber music concert, including pianist Megan Millap and cellist Cameron Closman.
I know who's going to be excited about that, and that is Michael.
Who?
Michael Mosney at Winemaker's
yeah.
Cut. In the vineyard, he's playing classical music to those vines.
Oh, my mother would be so thrilled to hear that. Well, I'll have to make sure the next time down in the village I go and have an opportunity to listen to Michael's music and speak to the vines.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Pleased to announce that Tasting Room hours will continue starting April the 6th. The wine shop hours are daily, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery will also open on April the 6th. Spring hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 to 9 p.m. with indoor and outdoor dinner service. And takeout available from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. Details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Kelowna home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post, the only brewery and smokery parlor on the West. You can find all the details at jpcfanclub.com. Eli Morris, of course, is the general manager of the Okanagan Wine Festival Societies, and she is announcing some of the details of the 26th Annual Spring Okanagan Wine Festival, May 5 through 15. Blush and Bubbles. I love this new event in Summerland at the Waterfront Resort.
Me too. So this will be an event that celebrates, of course, like the name says, rosé and sparkling. So again, this is a new event to our portfolio. And just a plug, everyone who's listening, this is the perfect Mother's Day gift.
Yeah.
Get some tickets and bring your mom or your grandma or get your gal pals together. Come out. This event is going to be a little different than some of the other events we do. There's a big surprise in the middle of the event, which obviously I'm not going to say, or it wouldn't be a surprise, but it's guaranteed to be a bit fun and flirty.
By the way, Elan, I have noticed at your wine festival, and it's indicative of many, that when roving groups of women, females, moms and daughters get together in a room with a glass of wine in their hand, there's a certain group laugh that happens that is only for them, and it's funny as hell because they're having such a ball. Everybody's getting off one-liners, and they're funny, and they're good.
And of course, it's not open to just women. We would love to have sons bring their mother as well.
Yeah.
Just by the very nature of the event, my expectation is that we'll have a lot of ladies attend the event. But of course, we welcome men bringing their moms or their grandmas or their girlfriends.
Yeah.
Get some tickets and bring your girlfriend out for a fun afternoon and we're having a wonderful local caterer, Bon Bouche, do this event. And Christine's food is quite phenomenal.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. And I have reconnected with Elan Morris, the general manager of the BC Wine Festival Society. I just want to ask you one question in closing here about you have a winter a festival, spring, summer, and fall. Each has their own character.
Yeah.
So, if you can, tell me about the personality of the winter festival as opposed to the spring or the summer, and especially the fall.
So we haven't actually been able to do Winter Festival for quite a few years, right? So Winter Festival, like Summer Festival, are a bit smaller than Spring and Fall Festival. And this year, coming in 2023, Winter Festival, the cornerstone events, and obviously I'm still building out a fulsome Winter Festival, but the cornerstone events for Winter Festival will be what I am referring to now as the Elevate event. And one of my priorities over the last couple of years was to create a diverse annual event portfolio that offered something for everyone. And the Elevate event will be an event that targets the more serious and distinguished wine drinker, where we will be encouraging our wineries to have their proprietors and winemakers attend and pour at the event to really speak to their wines. It'll be a higher price point, it's a little different. We've never done a premiere event before, but I'm really excited about this. So stay tuned for information about Winter Festival 2023.
Thank you, Elan. Final thing. Is it possible to form in a couple of sentences exactly what role wine played in these last 2 years for everyone?
Oh, goodness. Well, yes, I can certainly say that because I know what it meant to me. It was a Band-Aid. My goodness, so many of us felt injured and traumatized by what was going on in our businesses and our communities and globally. And I think so many of us turned to a really good glass of wine by the fire just to make us feel better.
Yep.
So, I mean, wine holds such a special place in my life, not only because I just love wine, but it's my business and I'm very passionate about what I do. But over the last couple years, for me, it consoled me. And I think it did for a lot of people. I'm very thankful for wine in my life.
And that's why the 26th annual Spring Okanagan Wine Festival is going to be a celebration. I know it always is, but this will be a capital C celebration. Winefestivals.com is the place to go and get your details. And you are open for business, yes?
Yes. And go to the website and download our digital guidebook. So from the website, you can download the guidebook, which has all of the events for Spring Wine Festival. And we are updating it daily as wineries continue to upload their events. And within the next 2 months, of course, it will grow bigger and bigger.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Great to speak with you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Kelowna home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post, the only brewery and smokery parlor on the West. You can find all the details at jpcfanclub.com.